over the last few years, actually the last couple of years, since the last election cycle, there's a phrase that seems to be a new phenomenon, and that phrase is fake news. And yet, what's interesting is, it's not a new concept. It really isn't. Ever since the fall of man, the reality is that every human being has been fed fake news. Stuff that is not true, that is meant to deceive, that is really a lie. And so this morning, I start with a review, a reminder that there is a God and there is a devil and there is a warfare that if you're here today as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are engaged in. It's not a matter of like, well, that's for the super spiritual ones, but I'm like a peace lover, so I'm not going to be involved. No, if you're a Christian, there's a battle, and there is a battle for your soul. There is an enemy, and his name is Satan or the devil, and there are names and activities that are associated with him, and there are many. He is called the evil one. He is called the dragon. He is a slanderer. He is our adversary. He is the god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is a tempter. He is the enemy, and he is a liar. He is an absolute liar. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says, "And from the beginning, he has nothing to do with truth." This is speaking of the evil one. "But because there is no truth in him, when he lies, he speaks out of his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And he is our adversary, and he walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is called the thief." And it says in John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." He does. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Think about this. Yesterday, you turned on the news, and there was the tragedy of some wacko walking into a synagogue and shooting the place up. Where does that come from? It is pure evil. It comes right from the pit of hell, from the devil himself, who got this man's thinking so twisted, thinking that these people that are there and they are gathered to worship, that he's going to take them out. What is that? That's pure evil. Or someone who wants to send a package to blow up somebody because they don't agree with them. What is that? That is pure evil from the devil. No excuses. It is what it is. And Satan, if you will allow him, he will steal, kill, and ruin your life. He will wreck your joy. He will wreck your peace. He will wreck your attitude. He will wreck your mind. He will wreck your hope. He will wreck your purity. He will wreck your witness, your testimony, your effectiveness for King Jesus. And not just you. Not just you. He wants to wreck this church and any church that stands for truth. He wants to wreck marriages and families and children. And he wants to get you so twisted in your life. Oh, you come to church on Sunday, but when you leave here, you're not an ambassador for Jesus. You're an ambassador to do what you want to do. And ultimately, it's not a good thing. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life abundantly." And so, this battle is winnable. Pastor Jason mentioned that last week, that the power doesn't come from us. This battle that we're waged in, you cannot do it. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So you can't win in this battle in your own power. And you got to know that there is one who wants to wreck your life. And the sad thing is in the church, he doesn't want us to be effective. He doesn't want you to be on firing all cylinders for Jesus. He wants you to get involved in your own little thing. And the thing that you're involved in might not be bad, but it's not the best. And sometimes it's not good, but it gets us twisted. And so how do we battle this? How do we war against this? Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. And today, we begin the series where we look at the armor. And Joey Henstock has let us borrow his armor. This armor is medieval armor. It's not like the Roman armor that we're going to be talking about, but it is. There's a lot of similarities to it. So we're going to leave this up because there are some things that you got to understand. We got to put it on. So let me invite you, if you're able, to stand for the reading of God's word. And I'm going to start in verse 10, and I'm going to read down to verse 14, really the first part of verse 14. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us defenseless. And your word says that greater is he, meaning you, that is in us than he that is in the world. That you will never leave us nor forsake us. But I pray for the person that's here today that doesn't really get it, that there's a war going on for their soul and there is a warfare, that we would be strengthened by your word, that we would fasten on the belt of truth, that we would fight the good fight of faith. And not just this morning, but every day of our lives for your glory, and we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So let's get started with really kind of a bit of a recap. The believer's responsibility to act. If you're here today and you are a Christian, you have a job to do. I often use an illustration of an airplane and two wings. On the one wing is my job, and on the other wing is God's job. Now, God is good and perfect and true and just and holy and perfect in all his ways. He always does his job. He never fails. Never. But whether we like it or not, he has given us responsibility. He's given us things to do. And by the way, he gives you the power to do it. But you do have to access, you do have to yield, you do have to surrender that control where he could work through you. But there are things that you are called to do. In this passage, very clearly, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord. It's not like you can let go and let God. No, you have the responsibility. You got to do this part. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you be able to stand. You have to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then he goes on to say, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers. So you have to act. It's like my enemy is not the person next to me. It's not my boss. It's not my neighbor. It's not that person. There is a spiritual warfare that goes on. Verse 13, he goes on to say, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm, stand therefore. Having fastened on the belt of truth. So we have a responsibility to do these things. And it is our job 24/7, 365 days of the year. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But we are called, as it says in 1 Timothy 6:12, to fight the good fight of faith. And it is a battle. And can I say, here's what I know as a pastor. There's some of you this morning that are losing the battle. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're engaged regularly in that battle, some of you are way less than a 5. And if you're losing the fight, here's what you can't blame. You can't blame your past. You can't blame your upbringing. You cannot blame what happened to you. And can I just say, in these pews, in every row, horrible things have happened to you over the years. Things that shouldn't have happened but did. But you can't blame that. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame your genes. You can't blame where you live. You can't blame your spouse. You can't blame your teacher. You can't blame your boss. You can't blame your health. You can't blame your church. No church is perfect. You can't blame your pastors. It's like, oh, well, I'd be better if you were better. No, well, you can't blame me. Sorry. Can't blame God. So people, we live in a world, people love to play the victim card. Oh, you know, I have a this, and then we put labels on it. Have you noticed that? Nowadays, we've taken sin and we've put labels on it to make people feel better. And I see it all in all, and they're coming up with labels. They're coming up with them. So it's like, okay, you got an issue? That's a sin issue. The Bible calls sin. Let's put a label on it. Then you don't have to feel as bad. And I'm not going to name them because some of you, your doctors told you, you have some of these disorders. And it's not a disorder. It's like, okay, we live in a fallen world. Things happen. And you know what? Yes, those things are there. But you need to handle them with what we're going to talk about today. So we say no to the victim card. And we understand and live in the identity of who we are in Jesus Christ. Throughout this whole book, what are we at? 56 messages in the book of Ephesians. We have laid out the theology of why our identity in Christ and what he has done. And we got to chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do more, far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. So all of those issues and phobias and isms that you have and those diagnoses that we have been given, he's able to overcome those according to his word and according to his power at work within us. In him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, it says in Ephesians 1:13, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So, are you a Christian today? Let's just ask that question right now. Are you a Christian? Not the person that brought you. Have you come to the place where you know that there is God, there is a devil, that you are a sinner that deserves God's judgment? Have you come to the place where you have acknowledged that and that you need a Savior and that Jesus died and was the atoning sacrifice? He died to bear the wrath for all of your sins. And have you, by faith alone in Christ alone, turned and given your life, repented and given your life to him and asked him to save you? Have you called on the name of the Lord in faith? And have you said, yes, I believe and I give you my life. And I surrender all. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. If you are here, then great. If you haven't made that decision and it's not real, and again, saying the words doesn't do it. You're going to lose the warfare if you're just saying the words. You believe in one God, the scripture says in James? Good, the devil believes and shudders. But if you're his, if you have surrendered, if you said, Lord Jesus, I am your child, I give you my life, then we jump into warfare. Point two, what is the first piece of armor and what did it do? It says in Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. The Roman soldier wore a tunic underneath his armor. It was basically like a blanket that had a hole cut in it, and it would drape over his body. And then, to hold it in place, there was a leather belt that was around his waist, and there were leather things that went down. And you've seen these pictures in different movies that guarded his parts, and then there was things that they could add on, attachments onto the belt. And that belt, if you would, was kind of like a police officer's belt. Police officer has a lot of things on his belt, almost 20-some pounds worth of stuff, everything from his gun to extra magazines to handcuffs to pepper spray to a taser. They have all kinds of things. Well, the same concept was in that belt that they wore, and in a real way, that belt fastened to the breastplate, fastened everything together. And not only that, when they would be in battles, if it was wintertime and they had a longer tunic, they would take that and they would tuck it in so they could move readily. And so the belt was absolutely necessary for the battle that they were in. And so that's what he's talking about, that belt of truth that holds it all together. And not only that, point three, it says, truth, and this is where we draw that analogy. Truth holds the spiritual armor in place and safeguards against deadly entanglements. It's almost like you take the whole armor and you dip it in truth to where it's all covered in truth. Kent Hughes in his commentary says, there is an objective spiritual truth in Jesus and in his scriptures. Truth about God, truth about ourselves, truth about history, truth about the future, truth about evil, truth about troubles, without which we would not have a chance in the spiritual battles that come our way. We live in a world that says truth is relative. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. But no, we have objective truth, and it's found in God and in the person of Jesus Christ and in his given word to us, both Old Testament and New Testament. And that truth governs everything. It deals with the whole issue of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And salvation is found in no one else, it says in Acts 4:12. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I have had probably hundreds of conversations with people who have said, well, what's true for you is good. Or they say, well, you know, yes, but there's other ways. You know, there's more paths to God. All truth teaches. There's one way. Can I say right now, there are churches all around the world on this Lord's Day that will gather and they will teach falsehood. It breaks your heart. They won't even talk about sin, some churches. Or they'll make sin into something that is a political thing. They won't talk about what God's word says. They won't talk about our need of a Savior, that he is the only way. They won't talk about how we are in this warfare. And I often wonder, why do they get together? The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power that's in them, that's there. And so we are called to contend for the faith. We're called to contend for the truth once for all delivered to the saints. And there are some churches that say, they don't even point out the whole concept of who, what Jesus is and what he has done. And yet in John chapter 8 and verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my true disciples and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. We will be set free. There is truth. And it is, here is a reference, not only to the facts surrounding Jesus the Messiah and his son, but also to the teaching that he brought, that it is God's word. And you'll know that truth and it sets you free. In Jesus' high priestly prayer, he said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So we know that, okay, what is truth? It is what is revealed in God's word clearly, what he has given us in his word. It is the instrument for sanctification that God has revealed in his inscripturated word that is, again, contained in the Old and New Testament. We have his word. It is the word of truth. Other things that are in this world are not true. I feel bad for kids that go away to college because they go away to college and they've been taught the truth in God's word. They've been taught the truth at home. They've been taught the truth here. They go away to college and they get undermined often to say, oh, really? And it gets chopped away at. And yet, Psalm 86:11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So truth holds it all together. It holds everything that we do together. And we're going to see how that works in a little bit. And it also safeguards against the entanglements. Can I just say, if you're twisted today, if you're entangled with something today, what needs to happen is the truth needs to be applied to that situation, to what's going on in your mind. Why? Because when Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders, here's what he said. He said to them, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. There is an enemy that you have that lies to you. And so we got to understand this. So how do we do this? How do you know if you have put on the belt of truth? Because I'm quite confident that every one of you would say, well, yeah, of course I put on the belt of truth. Well, how do you know? You just came off of 6 days since you were here last. And there was an article I read this week. I think it was in the Gospel Coalition by Jeff Vanderseth, I think is how you say his name. And he asked 3 questions that are just great for us to consider. What are you hearing? What are you thinking? What are you believing? What are you hearing? What are you thinking? And what are you believing? These things we desperately need to get a grasp on because they're happening. What are you hearing? I tell you what, I can tell you for a fact what I hear every week. I hear from the world, and I hear from even the traitor that is in within me, my flesh. You know what it says to all of us? It does say, make much of you. Put you at the center. That is what whether we like it or not, we're hearing. You're not hearing that now, but when you leave this place, when you go home and you turn on the TV and you start to watch commercials, it's going to say, make much of you. Everything is going to be based around that. And then, what are you thinking? This is a challenging one. Have you ever thought what goes around your head? Isn't this scary? I mean, the things that can come into your mind, what you've been hearing, and then you start to process it. What is going on in your head? What are you thinking? And like Paul would say, What I want to do, I don't do. And the evil I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And there's that battle that goes on. And so, and lots of times, what we end up thinking about is me. Me. What about me? And I have found, and I hope you have as well, that there is a battle that you have to say, wait a minute, what am I really, what's going through my head? If we took your mind and did a video up here, which would be scary for all of us. But if we put it out there, and you did the average, you did a pie chart, how much you thought of you and how this situation affected you and how that person, what they said affected you and about this and how it affects you. It would be amazing on how much we are thinking about ourselves. And then what do you, and then that's why, by the way, that is why the scripture says, set your minds on things above. We're constantly called to renew our minds. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your minds. There is a battle that goes on. And then the last one, what are you believing? our hearts and our heads are informing us. But what in that moment, what are we believing? And that's why the scripture says in Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one take you captive by philosophies, by empty deceit, according to the human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And that battle is going on all the time. By the way, the people you hang out with, that's why the scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man should sharpen another. If you are not hanging around the saints, if you're not hanging around brothers and sisters, if you're not hanging around and encouraging one another, and most of your time or none of your time is around people that are going to build you up, the scripture says bad company corrupts good character. Why? Because what they're saying, then you throw in what the world's saying will affect our heads. And marriages get blown up because they're at work and one's hearing one thing and one's hearing another thing. And lots of times it's not good. And so, here's what it comes down to. Am I moment by moment, day by day, taking what the scripture says and applying it? What am I really believing? Which brings us to the fifth point. The belt of truth must be put on daily. And I would even say moment by moment, day by day. We are called to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Not just how I feel. Here's what you're battling against. Me and I. Well, I feel, I think. I feel, I think. That is the enemy. And so we ask questions. In that article, it goes on to say, here's some more questions to ask. Is what you're thinking, is it real or is it a lie? We want to ask the Holy Spirit. We want to invite God who dwells within us to bring us truth and evaluate what's going on. This thought I have that's out there, maybe it's about a person. Maybe there's a real hurt that happened. How do I handle that? In my flesh, Jesus said, if you've been angry at your brother, you've committed murder. It's easy to kill. But how do I take that thought and apply God's word to it? Is what I'm thinking, is it true or is it a lie? Now, it may be true, the hurt that happened, but how are you handling that with God's word? See, God's word does deal with everything, either directly or by principle. And so in Philippians chapter 4, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, what does he say? Think about these things. Think about these things. Don't be thinking your thoughts, my thoughts. Don't be thinking those. And he goes on to say in the next verse, whatever you've learned, received, you heard, seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Another question to ask yourself. Does what you're thinking, does this sound like the devil's accusations or the Spirit's conviction? The Holy Spirit, if you're a true believer, if you're over here, he will gloriously convict you. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful? I mean, it's no fun, but probably on a daily basis for me, I say or do something that is just stupid. Just stupid. And there's times where I will beat myself up. It's like, you're such a loser. You know, how are you going to preach on spiritual warfare when you're a loser? And what do you got to do with that? I'd quit. But no, it's like, no, that's not the truth. It's like, okay, is that the devil's accusations or the Spirit's conviction? The Spirit's conviction is, yeah, you did something wrong. You got to make that right. Yesterday morning, you ever have one of these mornings? I don't think my wife will mind me sharing this. Yesterday this morning, I got up and I said like 10 words to her that were just not nice. I mean, they weren't mean, but it's kind of like boom, 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 and I just knew what I did. It was like the Holy Spirit came and he flicked me and was like, really? You're going to start the day off like this? Are you that stupid? And the answer is, yeah, I am. But I went to my wife and I just said, I am so sorry. Can I hit the rewind? Can we start again? Because I didn't start with a good morning, honey. I started with blah, 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 blah. And I just said, good morning, honey. And she allowed me to hit the rewind button, very gracious. And we had a great day. But how many days do we start where we start off just chirp, 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 chirp? And next thing you know, it's garbage in our lives. And it's you know, and so what do? It's the Holy Spirit getting a hold of us. Let him work. And yet, understand, don't let the devil condemn. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. When you get those beat up feelings like, oh, I'm just no good and I'm useless and I'm a helpless case and, you know, I'm one of those people that's just, I'm beyond hope. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Another question to ask. What am I putting my hope in now? God's word, it should be a capital W, God's word or something or someone else. Because I can tell you this much, you're putting your hope in something. It might be in you, in your achievements, in your work, in your money, in your job. What are you putting your hope in? Is it in, you know, we make idols out of, oh, you know, this is going on in the world and that's going on in the world. And at the end of the day, we come back and we say, my hope is in the Lord. And that's why you make much of him. Make much of him and make little of you. Another question. How do the truths of Jesus' life and death and resurrection address the thoughts or beliefs? There are implications of the gospel in everything that goes on. How do you preach the gospel to yourself in that way? This will help you forgive. This will help you in your purity. This will help you in every area of life. When you take it and you understand what he has done for you and then you apply it. This will affect how you treat other people. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to those that persecute you. So it does affect everything that we do. And then lastly, what about Jesus and the Word do I need to remember right now? This is your and my biggest battle. What do I have to do right now? Right now, what do I got to bring in? What do I got to lock in? What truth do I have to understand? What part of this that truth? That's why the belt of truth, it does. It ties everything together, and it is absolutely necessary for everything we do. When Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, think about those things. And you know what happens when you do? God does an amazing thing. I've seen this dozens of times, and I mean, that's no joke, probably hundreds of times. The reason Pastor Jason and I will gladly go to a hospital when you're having a surgery, we come in and what do? We read Scripture. You know, we read Scripture. Why? Because you need the truth of God's Word in that moment. We go when people are dying and read God's Word. Why? That's the only thing that's going to give you comfort, the truth of God's Word. When there's situations that are going on, what do you got to do? You got to take, okay, you're not getting along with somebody, you take God's Word and you apply it. And it's amazing what happens. When it says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will again say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So there's this whole part of when you understand God is there, he's present, he's working. Then it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's some of our people that are going through all kinds of things. And from a human standpoint, you could be anxious. But the scripture says, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And you take the truth of God's word and you put it over what's going on. And then it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It is the armor that comes on the truth of God's word. What are you anxious about? What's the worst that could happen to you? The worst is you die. And as a believer, you go to be with Jesus. Or you go through a difficult time where even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's happening right now and will happen to all of us, we can fear no evil. Why? Because he's with us. And when you understand and you live in the reality of that truth, that's where there is joy, there is peace, there is that whole understanding that his peace surpasses all understanding. Get your eyes off of that. You don't put that belt on, the whole armor starts to fall apart. And it all goes back to you. So, let me ask this question. What's bouncing around your head? What's going on right now? What are you thinking? What are you believing? What are you hearing? What are you thinking? What are you believing? I want you to just, we're just going to take a couple minutes and just look at these last things that I've looked at. And just look at your life. Do a little evaluation. Is what you're going on, is it really true or is it a lie? Does this word sound like the devil's accusation or the Spirit's conviction? What am I putting my hope in now? God's word or something else or someone? How did the truth of Jesus' death and resurrection address this thought or belief? What about Jesus and the word do I need to remember right now? Just take those and apply to your situation right now. Let's pray together. Father, you know our hearts. Lord, you know what is going on in everyone's mind. Your word says that you know our thoughts from afar. Lord, I would pray that you would stir within our hearts, that we would see that we do need you and to put on your armor every moment of every day. For some, that will mean that they need to avail themselves of what your word says more so they will know what your truth says. Lord, for some of us, may we be an encouragement to those and give them the truth of God's word. Lord, may we dip our whole lives in the truth of your word, that we are saturated by your greatness and your goodness and your promises and your principles, and ultimately you, that we would see you and know that as we turn our eyes upon you, the things of this world do grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Lord, help us to know that we are in this battle. If you're in a battle right now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I find that most people don't, but I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, you do know every heart. I pray that as you are moving in people's hearts right now, that they would be led by you to look to see what your word says on the situation that has been shackling them even this day. And for some, they know the word and they need to reapply it. And for others, they need to hear from your word. So, Father, do your work in our lives that we would have put on the belt of truth, not just on Sunday mornings, but 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year, and that we would do it for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We end by singing about this armor, starting with the belt of truth, what we need against the enemy. Would you stand and join us on this?
Amen, amen. Let me encourage you, don't just leave this message and not talk about it with somebody. Talk about it in your family, talk about it with your friends. Talk about, this is the armor, and if we don't get this part right, then we're not going to get the rest of the armor. And we need to do that. We need to put it on. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, it says, "To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." And all God's people said, amen.
Arise, arise, shine.